Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Thank you, sweetheart, for another wonderful introduction. I appreciate you so very, very much. Well, I know our listeners like to know where we're going to be from week to week, so they can be with us whenever possible. Let me make you listeners aware that on Sunday, April the 2nd, I'll be preaching two services at the Bethel Baptist Church, located on U.S. 29 in West Point, Georgia. I'll be preaching at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. The 11 a.m. service is just a regular worship service, and then the 6 p.m. service I'll be preaching, but it's also the graduation service of their Faith Bible Institute. So I encourage you to come be with us for either one of those services, or both, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., Bethel Baptist Church on 29 across from the West Point Motel. And then on April the 9th, my birthday, and I know y'all needed to know that so you can send me a bunch of $100 bills. Just kidding. But anyway, on my birthday, April the 9th, all you folks over in the Manchester, Georgia area will be headed that way and be at the Abundant Life Worship Center at 10:50 a.m. on April the 9th, and that's where Pastor Sanford Colquitt serves, and looking forward to being there. And then April the 10th through the 12th, we'll be up at the Union Baptist Church on Old Highway 431 up in Newell, Alabama, with Pastor Ed Halsey. So we encourage you to come and be with us for any and all of these services. Oh, and I don't think I told you, the services at Union Baptist start at 7:30 Georgia time. All right, today you're going to hear part two of a sermon we started last week that was recorded at the Miracle Way Baptist Church in Senoia, Georgia. It's entitled, Coming to the End of Yourself, part two. Hope you get a blessing out of the message today.
The woman, realizing that Jesus had received no kiss, begins to kiss his feet. Realizing that his feet have not been washed and having no water or towel or basin to perform the ritual ceremony, she uses her tears and her hairs to wash his feet. And by the way, in society of that day, for a woman to have let down her hair in public with a man who was not her husband was grounds for divorce and was considered indecent. Can't you hear the audible gasp in the room when she reached up and pulled her harpoon? Amen. And her hair fell. And that's the reason that Simon said he can't be a prophet, because he knows what kind of woman this is. Why, look, she done let her hair down. If he knew, he'd rebuke her. Oh, listen. And here's the irony of the story, though. A dirty woman cleanses the feet of a perfect Savior. Wow. Ain't that the gospel? Ain't that the way Christ works? And realizing he had not been anointed with oil, she anointed him with oil. Now I want you to get something here. You know the trade of the woman, and I'm trying to be delicate as I preach about this. But she would probably take that oil, which was very expensive perfume, very expensive, and probably would use no more than one drop at a time. You know where I'm going with that. One customer at a time, one drop at a time. But when she met Jesus, she poured the whole thing out on him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because you see, she gave all because he had forgiven all.
Amen.
Oh, and she wasn't going to need it tomorrow anyway. Amen. But she was lavishly pouring upon Jesus that which she had because Jesus had given all for her. Now contrast this with old Simon. Simon would have spent the first 12 years of his life memorizing the first 12 books of the Old Testament. By age 15, these Jewish boys of that time, by age 15, he could quote the whole Old Testament. This means that he could recite nearly 300 prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. But now he's sitting across the table from him, and Simon is so filled with himself, he cannot see that the Messiah is in his presence. All he sees is an unwanted dinner guest. Why are you here? Why are you messing up my religious to-do? Oh, no, I don't need to stop and preach that, do I? You know why Jesus is not welcome in a lot of churches? It's because he messes up the religious protocol that we have.
Amen.
Amen. Why, we can't do our Baptist doctrine thing if Jesus is in here. Why, we can't do our WMU thing or our brotherhood thing or our this thing or that thing. Why, Jesus just messed that up, and we can't have that in our church. Brother Aaron, you just don't realize we've done it that way for 40 years. It's fine. That's your prerogative to do it that way as many years as you want to. But sometimes Jesus messes up protocol. Oh,
amen.
Protocol was that when a king was born, he was born into royalty. There was fanfare. There was robes. There was visiting dignitaries. There was this. There was that. Our Savior was born in a stable.
Come on, brother. Amen.
And the dignitaries were some shepherds that had been out in the field and a bunch of livestock.
Yeah, come on.
There was no room for him.
Amen.
Oh, listen, you see, they were doing their protocol of the day. They were going to pay their taxes. They were doing what they had to do. But there was no room for a Savior. That's why we don't have revival today. We got to fit him into our little time slot. Well, everybody knows we have revival same time every year. If Jesus wants us to have revival, he'll fit in our time frame. No, he won't. No. Revival comes when we fit in his time frame. I hope you're getting this tonight. I just feel the presence of the Lord in this, that we don't want to change our protocol. Yeah. But we'll sing 2, 3, 4, 5 songs. Always kills me. I work with 55 Southern Baptist churches, plus I run revivals all over the place. I can tell you about church. And these folks will say, "Why, we don't have an order of service." And I won't, I'd have to bite my tongue. What they're meaning is we don't have a printed out order of service.
Yeah.
But make no mistake about it, they've got an order of service. Because we've always done it that way. Why, we'll sing a song of welcome. The pastor will get up and say a few words, read over a little prayer list or whatever. We'll sing 2 or 3 more songs. Brother so-and-so will come to receive the offering. We'll sing another song. Somebody will come do a special, maybe two. Then the preacher will preach. And then, bless God, he better have us out the door by 12 o'clock. So we got a fighting chance with the Methodists at the restaurants. Don't tell me we don't have an order of service. Yes, we do. I want you to know something. Sometimes Jesus messes your order of service.
Amen.
Amen. Simon, you say, why are you getting all that from? Simon had his expectations of what was going to happen that night. He had all his buddies there, all his preacher buddies, all his church buddies, whoever, and all of a sudden, here comes this itinerant preacher, this rabbi in, who he don't like, and now he's letting a prostitute come in and minister to him, and he's broke up his party, and he don't like it.
Praise the Lord.
Woo!
Come on, brother.
Yeah. Man, we need Jesus to get loose in a lot of our churches.
Yeah.
We need some folks to go home pouting because God got loose.
Amen.
What did it get to saying this morning? Good.
Woo!
What did it get to preach? I have found out some of the best sermons I've ever preached, Brother Harry, are the ones I didn't get to preach.
Ahead,
amen. Get up there and get started, and God would just break loose, and I'd just say, I ain't ruining this. Go, Jesus, go. And I went from the preacher to the cheerleader.
Amen.
Woo!
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Listen, let me get back on track here. Simon's little party has been messed up. This unwanted dinner guest. Now, this whole thing reveals the fact that Simon is broken. He doesn't work. Because you see, all he saw was Jesus messing up his party. He didn't see his own brokenness. And listen, I think I said this morning, but let me say it again tonight. The less a man sees his own brokenness, the more broken he really is. You know, I've seen it happen time and time again. You other preachers have too. You preach, God moves, you pour yourself out, his spirit moves, and you have folks sitting there, and you know what they're thinking. They're thinking, boy, I'm glad he ain't preaching to me. Amen. Boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that.
Yeah,
boy,
ahead.
Sister Sally or Uncle Henry, they need that.
Amen.
I don't need that. I'm all right. Ain't one problem with that. Mm-hmm. You know what the problem is? None of us are all right.
Right. Amen.
We're all broken. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? Every one of us. You mean you, Brother Harry? Especially me. Amen. Amen. You mean Brother Harry? Yeah, Brother Harry. I know that y'all think that if I took my knife out of my pocket and cut Brother Harry's arm, that surely righteousness is going to flow out of there. No, don't work that way. Blood's going to flow out. You know why? Because he's a human being. And as human beings, we fall short of the glory of God. My. Thank you, Jesus. Brokenness. Simon was so filled with himself, he didn't realize he was broken. Now, I said the first point was brokenness that brings us to the end of ourselves is often the catalyst God uses to bring the revival we seek. But there's a second point. Brokenness that reveals our flaws is often the catalyst God uses to bring revival to. Goodwill, if you've ever been in a Goodwill store, they advertise it for clothes that they want gently used items. Amen? Really, as I said a while ago, the reality of life is that none of us are gently used, but we are badly broken. Again, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no big sinners and little sinners. Now, there are sins that are more egregious than others, but you think of the most minute sin you can think of, and here's the truth. That most minute sin was enough to send you to hell. It was enough to put our Savior on the cross of Calvary. Sin is sin. Now, in the physical world, broken things lose their value. We live today in a throwaway world. Broken dishes or glassware or furniture, we just throw them away. Flaws are fatal. We live in a throwaway world. But in the spiritual world, just the reverse is true. Broken things are precious. Broken things reveal the beauty and the power of God. Flaws are openings for God to do his work. probably won't pronounce this name right because I don't speak English well, much less Japanese, but Kintsugi, K-I-N-T-U, K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I, is a ceramic restoration process developed in Japan in the 1500s. Broken ceramic pieces, they take them and seal them together. But instead of hiding the cracks like we try to do, we'll sand it down, put some filler in it, try to airbrush over it, and make it where you never even knew it was broken. They don't do that. But instead, they boldly highlight the crack. And then you know what they do? Then they fill it with gold. They fill it with gold. You know what the outcome of that is? Normally cracked pottery that is of far less value, when it's gone through the Kintsugi process, oftentimes the broken piece of pottery turns out to be more valuable than it was before it was broken. Let's get you on shouting ground. The restoration process not only fixed it, but it added value to it. And the end thereof, it is more valuable than it was in the beginning. Woo! Now let's get me on preaching ground tonight. I was born into this world a sinner, but I was born a masterpiece of God because I was his idea. But sin had broken me. But through the cross of Calvary, when the gold of his red blood is applied to the cracks and faults of my life, honey, the end result is I'm of more value to the kingdom than I was before I was broken.
Amen.
My Lord. Praise God. We need to get this tonight. I'm going to give you one of the biggest things I'm going to tell you all night. God never wastes a hurt. When you have a crack, Mike, as hard as you try to avoid them, you're just like me. Nobody likes getting cracked. Nobody likes getting chipped. Nobody likes getting disfigured. Son, here's the good news. When you have that crack, the Holy Spirit of God takes the blood of Jesus and highlights it and fills it. And you don't hide the fact I was broken. Oh, wow. But I've been through the process. And the master potter, the master ceramist, has fixed me better than what I was to begin with. Did you know, if you know metallurgy, did you know that if you cut a piece of metal in half and a welder who knows what he's doing gets a hold of those two pieces of metal and he properly welds them back together? Did you know that if you put that metal in a machine and if that weld is done correctly, the metal will break somewhere else first other than the mended weld? Woo! That's good stuff. Amen. Listen, we are more value when we've been broken and repaired than we were without the breaking process. My. Kind of thicker than bugs on a bumper in here, ain't it? Amen. You know why it's good tonight? Because there's not a one of us in this place that hasn't been broken. And I'm going to tell you what, Brother Harry, you don't do this, I do. But when I get broken, I tend to say, let Aaron fix this. And I put all my junk on it, and it looks more horrific when I get through than it did just broken. Amen. I give you a point in case here tonight, or case in point. Y'all see this key fob I got? It's got tape all over it. You know why it's got tape all over it? Because I was doing something I ought not been doing, trying to get something out, and I twisted it and I broke it around the little thing there. So instead of taking it to somebody who knew what they were doing, first I put some super glue on it. That didn't work. And then I put some tape on it. And boy, ain't it ugly. Probably one day this week I've got another key fob that the buttons don't work on, but I'm probably going to take it to the dealer, to somebody who can do something with it. I'm going to say, how about put this one in that one? And then probably one day this week I can bring it to y'all and say, look at here. It went through the process.
Amen.
That's only me that does that, not y'all. I'm glad that as with Jeremiah, when the Lord took him to the potter's house, He refuses to toss the flawed pieces. But he simply brings them down, brings them back up, reworks them, and makes them new. I said, number one, brokenness that brings us to the end of ourselves is the catalyst. I said, number two, that brokenness that reveals our flaws is the catalyst. But there's a third. But before I get to the third, let me just say this. This just popping in my mind. The old song, Amazing Grace, said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know, the beauty of that song is that the writer does not hide his flaws. He only mentions them to reveal the repair. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Whew, amen. But there's a third thing. Brokenness that reveals our faith is another catalyst that God uses. In verse 50, Jesus says a most precious thing to that woman. And he said to the woman, all your squalling and carrying on has made you free. No? How about the fact that all of this that you're willing to wash my feet with your tears and wipe it with you, that saved you? No. What's verse 50 say? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Faith it must have taken for her to bust the party of the religious muckety-mucks to get to Jesus. See, this woman was considered to be garbage. She had no value. She had no reason to hope. But listen to me. Something brought her. Something compelled her. Something drew her to Jesus. And that something was her faith. I believe she was close akin to the woman with an issue of blood. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Faith that Jesus could make something from nothing at all. What I'm about to tell you about, I'm going to tell you this up front. This is not an allegory. This is an absolute true story. This is not a preacher story. This is a true story. Amen. You can Google this. If you'll Google the words landfill harmonic. Landfill harmonic. It'll bring you to this and tell you and show you a documentary on what I'm about to tell you. In a town in Paraguay, there's a town that's built around a garbage dump. Every day, 1,500 tons of new garbage are brought to that dump. The people that live there, that town is literally built around that trash dump. They make their living by scavenging the dump and seeking things to sell as recyclables. The living conditions are, as you might imagine, they're deplorable. But in the midst of this hopeless situation, a man named Chavez, a music teacher, came to town. And where others saw hopelessness and despair, of all things, now he's a music teacher, they saw hopelessness and despair. He saw an orchestra. Now these folks ain't got the money to buy an orchestra, an instrument. They have nothing. They're pillaging trash. But he had an idea. And he told the man who supervised the garbage dump to start looking for anything that could be salvaged into musical instruments. He made a cello from a part of an old 55-gallon oil drum and some kind of wood, something they had found, and it's got the heads of forks and spoons for tuning keys. He made a cello out of that. He made drums by, again, taking a piece of a drum, and they couldn't afford a drum head, so they've got an old X-ray film stretched across it. And they made saxophones and wind instruments out of metal water pipe where they would bend them and do this and do that. And again, they got spoons and forks for the keys on the saxophone. And you know what? He took and he made an orchestra out of trash out of that dump. And he began to teach them how to play their instruments. And guess what? they have toured worldwide as the Landfill Harmonic Orchestra. Now listen, they played before royalty and in prestigious venues. Like I said, they call themselves the Landfill Harmonics. Now I want you to note, now I'm about to get on shouting ground here. This is that little woman. But this is what they said. The world sends us their trash. We send back to them our music. Woo! Ain't that good? The world sends us our trash. Satan sent Jesus, the trash of the world, into the muckety-muck religious folks party.
Amen. Come on.
You know what Jesus sent back? His music. The beautiful music of redemption. Now, I know this song wasn't written back then, but it could have been. Don't you think she might have left that night singing, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispered sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing." What? Keeps me singing as I go.
Woo!